are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Have you ever wondered what it truly means to be born again? In this powerful Sunday message, Reverend Lindsay goes over the early signs of being born again. They include crying out, drawing nourishment, latching and holding on to our Father God. Christianity is light, and you should make Jesus public in your life today. So listen in and feed on today's powerful teaching as you soak up God's word.
Hallelujah. It's great to be in church once again. Oh, how great that day will be when Jesus shall appear. All the world will see him in the skies. We shall have the body that know no sin or death. We shall be with Christ the Lord of life. If you want to get there, turn now from your sin. When you're washed, you can be among God's chosen ones. You can be all the world, its mansions and wealth shall be no more. There will be such confusion in the world. Many are the people who will regret that day, but will be saved with Christ the Lord of life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Whilst you are still standing, hallelujah. Whilst we are still standing this morning, I am excited. Our Father is in the house. Let's put our hands together.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.
For the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's lift our voice real loud to the Lord and sing.
Come on. Come on. Let me see some movement. Glory to God.
Don't you know your name?
Are you happy to be in the
Don't
Lord?
Don't you know your name?
Then let me see your move.
Put your trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true.
Those
who know your name,
put
their trust in you.
There
is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name
if
of Jesus.
If you are not
Jesus,
dancing, you have all of his bones, so all my bones. Power love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
Power love.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
Power love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is born to me.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift up your hands with me as a child reaching out to the mother's pups. Thank you, Father. You're not only a father to us, but you're also the mighty breasted one, a mother. Thank you that we can belong to your team. Your word says, behold how great. We are blessed to be called your children, to be called your sons. And we haven't even seen what we will become yet. We are privileged to be called the children of God. We are privileged to be called your family. We are privileged that we can call you Abba Father. We are privileged that we can receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to anoint us for what we need to do, to help us to serve you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We bind every principality. We give you glory. We say, Lord, be the subject and object of all that we do here. Anoint everyone here and anoint everything we do here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm happy to be home and I bring you greetings. It's been a long, almost 2 months, 7 weeks. You may not have been counting, but it's been a long time and I'm excited to be here, to be part of my family again. Turn to somebody and say, we are in the Lord's family. Today is Teams Day. And, you know, as we're all wearing our jersey, my only hope is that if there is spiritually a jersey that connects you to the team of the Lord, that in the realm of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will find that you are wearing one. If that heaven requires a spiritual jersey on the day of the rapture, that you will have that jersey. You know, as Sister Ariel was singing about the New Jerusalem, all that I was thinking about is, oh Lord, that it will not just be a song, but it will be a home. Amen. Oh Lord, it will not just be a song, but it will be a reality. Yes. That everybody here will be part of the New Jerusalem. So I really hope that when the Lord calls home his team, all jerseys will be irrelevant except one jersey, the jersey of the Lord. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure you've been hearing a series of messages on how to join that jersey. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and let's read from verse 1. So you've been talking about being born again. Being born again. Bible says there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, who was a Pharisee. Huh? After dark one evening, he came, is that the translation you're using? He came and said to Jesus by night, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from above. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, this is exactly how Jews see Jesus. They see him as a rabbi, as a teacher come from God, as a prophet. And the Muslims also see him the same way. God is with him, but they don't see him as anything. And you see, so this description is very typical of how most people see Jesus Christ who are not believers. You see? So you see, Jesus Christ, obviously, Jesus, the Lord is using this chapter to address religious people who don't see Jesus as a Messiah. And I like what the verse 1 said. Let's read it again. There was a man of the Pharisees, and the religious thing that came in New Living, named Nicodemus, a religious man. You see, a religious man. I think that was in the New Living Translation, right? Now, there are many people who are religious who are like this, who come to Jesus from time to time, you know, in secret. And our Christianity is just a secret thing. And it's, you know, you'll be surprised that you see that this is just Nicodemus, but that's a lot of Christians. A lot of people who go to church, let me put it that way, because Christianity is real. Now, there are a lot of people who go to church who are like Nicodemus. Your religion is only when you need Jesus. It's only when you come to church. When you walk out of this door, there's nothing Christian about you, not even in your house. It's true. There's nothing. I mean, all your Christianity is secret. You meet Jesus in secret. That's why I don't want anybody else to know about my Christian walk. So you live a different life outside of church and outside of your closet. And sometimes your closet even is halfway. You see? So like this guy. So your Christianity is a night type Christianity. It's a darkness Christianity mixed with darkness. Yes. You come to Jesus, the light, but you operate in darkness. That was Nicodemus. And Jesus, when he sees that, he addresses it immediately. And so this is the addressing that you realize that when Jesus finally died, Nicodemus was one of the people that through this intervention of Jesus Christ actually testified of Christ and was part of the people that actually ushered him. And you could see that he had been converted. I pray that no matter how religious you are, no matter whatever, you see, here right now, what is it beyond this church that makes you a Christian? You see, when you come to Christ, you look very religious. Christ, the body of Christ is like Christ. It's part of, this is the body of Christ. So it's like this is talking about Nicodemus. When you say you behave Nicodemusly, it means you are in the dark. You know, you operate at night, you operate in secret, and your life is full of secrets. You see, it's a Nicodemus Christianity. Yeah, a man named Nicodemus, name is no, a Jewish religious leader. You see, religious, but a Pharisee who came, next verse, to Jesus by night. You see, this same came to Jesus by night. By night, secret, undercover Christianity. Yeah, now, did you know that Christianity is a light? It's a light, and I will show you. So this, any form of Christianity that is in darkness, you actually, Jesus' rebuke comes. And it's not a rebuke per se, it's a correction. You see, and remind me, please remind me that I don't go anywhere. I show you what Christianity is supposed to be. And get ready, Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 to 16. But let me read this. It said, the same came to Jesus by night. And don't see the by night as just in the evening only. But by night as in secretly, by night as in only in the church, by night as in hidden, by night as in your Christianity is not obvious. is hidden. This same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, rapping Jesus, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles. So you see, such Christianity only sees the miracles, only sees when I need to come to Jesus and that can do this miracle, that will, except God be with him. Then it goes on verse 3. Immediately, this is Jesus' answer to such Christianity. Okay, this is the answer Jesus has for any Christianity that is a secret. All right, that you want it to be personal. You've kept Jesus like your underpants. That's what it means. That's a part of you nobody knows. You don't show your underpants or your singlet. You get my point. Everything else is of you. It may sound funny to you, but that's how hidden he is. You see? Yeah. Jesus answered, and Jesus' answer to such Christianity is this. Verily, for sure, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man changes this behavior, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, the man came saying, you are a Pharisee sent from God. You are a man, a teacher sent from God. And so you are coming to me because you feel God sent me. I have something about me that's about God. Well, he's saying that you want to really come to God, then you came the wrong way because you can't see God except you change. The change must become obvious. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, when Jesus says verily, verily, he says, I tell you of a truth. This one, there's no doubt about it. There's not, for sure, there's no ifs and buts. It is for real. And he uses verily, verily, and he uses I say, and he uses except. These are strong statements. Number one, verily, verily. First of all, number one, it's directed at the Nicodemus. Number two, it's a verily, verily statement, for sure. Number three is, I, Jesus, I am the one who's saying it. Number four is, I'm saying it to you. I say unto you. Number five is, this is the only way, except. Except. I mean, these are strong statements. So if there is ever a passage in the Bible that should be emphasized over and over and over, this is the chapter. Because in just one verse, Jesus unleashes very serious, solid statements that indicate a certain level of strength that he doesn't normally exercise. You see, and he addressed it because he realized that many people who come to him come Nicodemusly, come in secret. There is nothing public about the relationship. Man, if my wife, when she finally proposed to me and I said yes, and she married me, yeah. When she proposed me, at that point, I didn't want to say yes. But, you know, if I said no, it will be a very shameful thing. And, you know, she may not recover from the bounce, from the heartache. Now, when she proposed to me and I said yes, or maybe when I proposed to her, I said maybe. When I proposed to her and she said yes. Be careful. Let me spank her. I just came from Accra, so I brought a certain level of you. Be careful. Anyway, but can you imagine that I married her or she married me after bringing me to the altar? We finished everything. And then anywhere that I go, I am not allowed to be with her. It was only at the altar, before the pastors, and in the church. After that, don't touch me. My family doesn't know you. My friends don't know you. My relatives, you can't affect my money. You can't affect my job. You can't affect anything. You can't affect where I live. No, nothing like that. You can't come into my car. You can't be seen with my friends. I can't be seen in public with you. Is that the kind of relationship you would want? Is that the kind? Oh, that's a side check, somebody said. I love it. That's a side check. Who said that? I know it's you. A side chick is the one that you hide. You hide the side chick. Do you get the point? That's a side. Jesus has been treated in Christianity like a side chick. Don't enter my marriage. Don't enter my finances. You have no say in my decisions. Nothing. Restrict yourself to the church. And that's it. You know? And that is supposed to be a relationship. And Bible says that if that is the case and you are a Christian, your Christianity is like that. But when you die, when the kingdom, when you finish the New Jerusalem, you want to live an eternal life with me. You want to now, when everything is said and done, okay, now I come. Stay with me forever. And when it matters, when you alone now goes, you are done with your life of public life and things, then Jesus, bring me to your mansion. Mansions you said in heaven, that where you are, there we will also be. Take me to the mansion, take me to the kingdom, give me eternal life, let me live my life associated with you forever. Never take anybody to the honeymoon who is not your friend. You will have depression for the rest of your life. And that is the kind of Christianity that many, many, many churchgoers, and I dare not use the word Christian, because Christianity means born again, really. Akwesi, don't walk out. Okay. Powerful. I miss you too. The man is here. Yeah. Do you get the point? So, listen, let's be serious with this thing. Eh? It's not useful to have a multitude of unbelieving churchgoers who are not going to be included to the kingdom. It will be better to actually face it today and change your attitude. I would rather I get an altar call and everybody gets born again today and for real, than to pretend we are born again and Nicodemusly go to hell. Yeah. So Jesus says, what I've described to you about when I proposed to my wife and then she said, no. It's only restricted to the church. When we come into church, you can put on your ring, I can put on my ring. When I step out, take off the ring. I don't want anybody to see that I'm married to you. Yeah. When I get to the work, I remain single. Everything I did before, my girls and everything that I used to have and my sugar mummies and whatever it is, they must continue. And you must not have any say. You know, because I don't want you to spoil my chances in the world. Yeah, but that's the way most of us treat Jesus. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except. He says, that's the only way. Yeah, that's the only way. That's the only way. That's the only way. Okay, then he goes on in verse 4. And I like what Nicodemus says. So Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? I've been in this religion thing for a long time. How can you tell me I should start afresh? Can you tell me about being born again? Do you know how long I have been going to church? Do you know how long I've been doing religious things? Do you know how long I've been associated with church? What are you talking about? How can it be? So I'm not surprised if as I am preaching, your question is, oh, it's not me. How can it be? It's not possible. It's not possible that I am not born again. Let me tell you, when I got born again, every Sunday I make sure, you'll be surprised, my hand is up. And one year, sometimes my hand is up and I'm saying the sinner's prayer, I'm saying it again and I'm going to start afresh. And it's been a blessing doing that to ensure that I'm truly born again, because I am afraid that in case it is just a closet type of church type of relationship, and the Lord actually says, I think it's in the book of Mark chapter 8, find it, but it says that verse 38, Mark chapter 8 verse, I think, or it's Luke chapter 8 verse 38, but it said that if you will be ashamed of me in this perverse generation, I will also be ashamed of you when
before the Father. You get the point? I find it. It was when we did that in a day, I shared that scripture. Okay, so find it and bring it up. Okay? But that's the point that I'm making. Jesus said, anybody who will be Nicodemus with your Christianity on the day, Luke 9:26, thank you. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man also be ashamed when he shall come into his glory and in his Father's glory and with the as far as of the holy angels. I mean that when you are ashamed of Jesus Christ now and you don't make him public, you are ashamed. He, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of you because he's supposed to be the bridge to bring you. Kia, say amen. Good. When he shall come in his glory, that day he comes in his glory, that final day in his rapture, he comes in, he'll be ashamed of you. Say, no, this one. He didn't want to deal with me. I'm not going to deal with him. I don't want any Nicodemus dealings. When he shall come in his glory, his own glory now, and in his Father's glory, and in the glory of the holy angels, they will come together, and it will be a very glorious ascent. Very glorious. Please come in. Oh, they have some work to do. Okay. It disturbs me. I traveled all the way here. I was not supposed to catch you. You don't know what I've been through to be here. So the least that you can do is also pretend that you're paying attention. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. Oh, Pastor Richard didn't tell you these things. All right. Now, and in his Father's glory and in the glory of the holy angels. You see. So I pray that you will never be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. You will never be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Let me take a detour. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Message Bible. I'm talking about how you should treat Christ from today. When you get born again, you have changed your whole identity to actually suit. I will go all out and live all out. My life will smell, will speak, will sound, will look all about Christ. That is Christianity. I will be a kingdom girl. I'll be a kingdom boy. I'll be a kingdom mother. I'll be a kingdom father. I'll be a kingdom worker. I'll be a kingdom employee. I will associate with the kingdom. Now look here. So let me tell you why you are here. Matthew 5:13. You are here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Yeah. I mean God flavors. You should be a God flavor. I mean, I should smell God around you. God, some godly person is here. Some Jesus girl is here. I smell it. And salt seasoning. It means that, you see, I smell it and I come near and your impact, your salt, Christ's saltedness affects me and preserves me. I can feel that I've come in contact with a Christian, a born again something. My taste has changed. And that the salt around this person, for real, the salt type Christ Christianity has affected me. And not only do I taste nicer, my life tastes nicer, and also I am preserved because of the salty nature of the person. You see, as I'm speaking to you, I'm bringing out the God flavors from you. The God, it's bringing a seasoning. It's preserving you and giving you longevity in Christ. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Pretend you are happy at least. Yeah. When we say born again, I'm talking about born again, the latter signs. Don't accept the term born again without having effect. Don't allow anybody to give you something and say it is salt. That doesn't taste like salt. And don't even try to put it in your food. It may be poison. Yeah. Yeah. You see, let me tell you why you're here. You are here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Your life is supposed to bring God flavors from people. If you lose your saltiness, How will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage, not in the kingdom. Don't accept any pastor that massages you and speaks nice words and is not hitting home. What is it? Jesus went all out. And we must be like, we are representatives of Jesus, not friends of yours. I like to be your friend. I give you a hug once here and there, you know, give you a peck here and there and all that. Today, I see people, they saw me, they give me a peck here. They give me, I say, okay, no problem, it's nice. And they hug me here and there. It's nice. It's all beautiful. That's not it. I must tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. As Christ would have spoken to Nicodemus, because I represent Christ in your life. Cry for the Lord Jesus. I should give you the answer when I see Nicodemosity in your Christianity. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Wow, Nicodemosity in your Christianity.
Yeah, you've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Keep going. Verse 14. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light. You are supposed to be light and you're operating in darkness. What do you mean? Nicodemus came at night in the dark. Meanwhile, you're supposed to be light. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the earth. Do you know? 10 of the lights for me, please. 10 of the lights for me, please. 10 of all lights. All lights. All lights. See? 10 of the screen. 10 of the screen. Good. Close that door. Of that light. Turn it off. Good. Turn off the screen. Turn off. Good. Turn off this nonsense here. Okay. Now.
We're in darkness.
What color is Brunetta wearing? What color is Lyric, I'm not using your memory. Based on what you see now, what color is Lyric wearing? What color is Mami wearing?
Don't know.
What color is, you see?
Can't see.
You see? You can't see. You can't see. Meanwhile, I came and I bought some nice colors for Lady Pastor and for, you know, I have a daughter. I told you I was going to give Lady Pastor a daughter. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Turn the light on. I told you. I mean, I don't know why you didn't believe that I can give her a daughter. I've taken her to Ghana. I've given her a daughter. You see her. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Turn on the light, please. And what is my daughter wearing? You don't know.
Hey.
Now, no, you see, don't worry. I want her to announce herself so that you don't. She doesn't deny it again. Because when I say she denies it. Now, watch this, oh. Now, you need light to determine colors.
Right.
The God colors of this earth are not seen, Rashad, because the Christian lights are down. And God never intended to himself. The first time God tried to go himself to the Israelites in the desert, they ran away. So he's not intending to do anything by himself. God is making us little lights. And our light is supposed to be shining in the world to bring God colors amongst people. And the people, you'll be surprised at this Carl that is sitting here. When he was an unbeliever, you'll be surprised. But somebody ministered to him. Somebody affected him. And suddenly the God colors in his life are showing. He's even a Sunday school teacher. He's a safe church teacher. I could not believe that he could. Look, wow. This man that is sitting here, drug addict, drug seller, drug dealer, number one. Drug pusher.
Hey.
I'm sure he was even a pimp also. This Michael that you see here. This color of Christianity, through him, many have come to know Christ. Many have heard the word. God colors have come out of him because somebody decided to be a proper born-again Christian to shine the light on him so that he can draw the God colors from him. Everybody in this world is made to bring, to show God colors without exception. Nobody is too wicked, not even Hitler. If Hitler has found a Christian who was born again and had decided, I'm not going to keep the Christianity in resident in the church and in my room, I'm going to go out there. Somebody would have been, maybe Michael would have been the next Hitler. Maybe. Maybe. No, no, don't say God forbid. I'm telling you that he's capable, because what Hitler had is what he had before. What the difference is, somebody decided to be a born again Christian and shine the light, not to hide the light, to shine it such that the God colors will show and prevent this drug pusher Hitler potential from manifesting. And now it's manifesting God colors. Amen. God bless you. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah? Okay, so here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this. Amen. As public as a city on a hill. That's clap it. For the Lord Jesus. I'm reading from the Bible. And Jesus is asking, if I have made you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? How come you are hidden under a bucket? How come you've made the church a bucket to hide under? The church is the only place. You see, when you hide light under a bucket, the light is not gone off. It's lighted, but it's restricted in that vicinity of the bucket. Yep. And the church has become a bucket that hides all the light of Christ in that bucket. Once we leave here, we turn it off.
Mercy.
Lord, help us.
Look at Brunetta sitting there. All you know is you're making babies. No, that's not it. You have more to your life than that.
What a shock. There's more.
When you hear Brunetta, what she can do, hey. I know it. Properly. You say it.
Say it.
Powerful. It's out of conviction.
Right.
Let me give her the microphone, you will see.
Hey.
Yep.
If she doesn't cry, if she doesn't cry. Her first reaction is crying first. Yeah. So I am, Jesus says, I am putting you on a light stand from today. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Wow. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop and on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening, by opening up to others, you prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, next verse. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or anything. Anyway, verse 16. Thank you. Verse 16 is what we read. Okay, we read all. Beautiful. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to be born again properly and to let your light shine. Go back to the scripture we're reading quickly. The scripture, John chapter 3 and verse number 3. Okay, John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto you, him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Many of us have made the Christian new birth just a physical experience. Mm. It's nothing physical. Yep. It's highly spiritual.
Very spiritual.
Hey, are you paying attention? Good. Highly spiritual. It's not born again. Can I enter? You see, so you can see that the things that prevent people from being born again, number one, is their old religion traditions. One. Number two, is their questions, and they've associated Christianity with a physical thing, the things that I do. That's all. I go to church, it means I'm a Christian and all. They have related, should I go into my faith? So it's a whole physical thing. It's all about the physical things. But the spiritual things, they, can I enter the second time? Born again is not entering the second time. It's not like the first birth. Then the next verse, verse 5, keep going. Jesus answered, verily again, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born now of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay? Of water through cleansing and of spirit through transformation and equipping and a new spiritual life.
Amen.
He cannot enter the kingdom. Okay? So there is a process. May we be processed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, what you came to need, if you were born into a church, you are just flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your mother is a Christian, your father is a Christian, and that's all your Christianity has been, you are just flesh. You are just one of your parents' children who is walking in the traditions that they have laid out to you. You are just a child who's obeying a parent to go to church. My children were like that, all of them, until they actually got born again. All of them. All of them just followed me to church. Not a bad idea, but they were not born again until they got born again.
You must be born again.
Yes. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay? So nobody should be here who is following instructions of your father, instructions of your mother. You came because when you open your mouth, you open your eyes, your mother belonged to Lighthouse. Kodesh Family Church, UD. First love. Your mother belonged. And so you followed and followed. It's time to be born of the Spirit. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Because that is what makes you spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then verse 7, it says, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. It says, don't be surprised, Mr. Nicodemus, don't be surprised that you have been in church a lot and we're still talking about born again. Because many of you are surprised. Pastor, don't you have a better message to preach? Well, Jesus' answer to that question in your mind is that is your problem. That's exactly why he brought this. Because Mr. Nicodemus, Madam Pregnant Nicodemus, Madam Mother, whatever it is, you have been associated with religion for too long. You have not once bothered to realize, I must stand back and actually be born again. Oh, Mr. Nicodemus, all of us here, we have been Christians for a long time. I dare you to reassess your life, to actually take that step again, properly, this time, moving from Nicodemus to the real born again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yes. It's not a cluster of Nicodemuses who don't change. Marvel not, don't be surprised. Pastor, why? How can you be saying that? How can you? You see, that's what I used to think. How can they? I'm a lecturer. I'm an intellectual. I've gone to school. I've been in church for my life. And then as I was a medical student about to become a doctor, then I was told I must be born again. My goodness. And I'm so grateful that just like Jesus saying to Nicodemus, I was told, don't be surprised that all your church going has been zero. It is now that you must start. And my goodness, when I took that step at that Nicodemus age, religious level of thinking, and moved it to the Spirit, what a change it has made in my life. So today I want to tell you that it's a possibility. There's a possibility that you entered this church because you were invited when you were already going to church. You have just followed through and Nicodemusly accepted Jesus Christ in your mind, but not in your spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised, therefore, that we are telling you that you must be born again. The word is must. Yeah, the word is must. It's a must. It's so important that Jesus committed this whole chapter. Then the next verse, verse 8. He says that, listen carefully. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. This is the same for everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, when somebody is born again, it is like, what's the color of the wind that you're seeing? My brother, you know, there's wind here. What's the color? I see a breeze. What's the color? You don't know the color of the wind?
Oh, I want to know the color.
No, why? I can't see it. That's a perfect answer. Clap for 717 points.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, you cannot see it. Huh? You hear the sound, but cannot tell where it's coming from. Where did the wind come from? You can't tell. Do you know where it was generated?
No.
Do you know where it will end? When the wind, okay, I finished blowing the weeds, so I'm ending here. I'm going to sit here for a while before I move. Have you seen the wind like that before? No. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. It says that, oh, you know, hear the wind, and that's a thing. Blowing wind. So there is a certain hearing. The only way to tell is for certain signs. When the wind is blowing, you see the weeds moved in this direction and things like that. So that is the reason why we're talking about signs. In case you don't know whether you are born again or not, there are signs. And the signs for you to, number one, assess yourself, and number two, assess it in others to be sure so that you don't get deceived. Hallelujah. And I'm sure you talked about early signs, the three early signs, and you talked about the 30 later signs. The three early signs are what? The crying sign. What's the crying sign? Okay, listen. There are early signs, there are later signs. When somebody is born again, there's what you call the crying signs. It's like a baby. When you're born again, even if you're a big baby, you'll cry. Once you're born again, one sign is you'll cry.
Crying. Got it.
Yeah, Brenda, for sure, for sure, for sure. Brenda's got it. Now, crying signs, there's a, what you call the crying signs. The crying are, you know, when you are born again, one of the things you do consistent, I mean, babies cry all the time, anything. Now, if you become a child of God and you are born as a child of God, you have the cry. Crying is worship. 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 If you are here and you are not a worshiper, the chances are that you are not born again. You don't like Christian songs. You don't sing to the Father. Crying is singing to or bringing, drawing attention of the mother. And something, you see, crying is towards the mother. So we call the crying signs prayer, worship, thanks. All the sounds we make to God in the direction of God. When your speeches are in the direction of God, mommy, daddy, help, everything, worship. So you see that one of the things that when you see somebody born again, you, when you come to church, watch the people that worship and watch the people that don't worship. And if you are not a worshiper from today, ask the Lord, Lord, perhaps I'm not born again. Affect my heart so that I can start with the crying. And the crying is not crying, and it is very consistent. Yeah. It's very consistent. All right, so worship is a very important thing. I sleep with worship. I wake up with worship. In fact, to the point where when I turn on the worship music, my wife says, ah, the sleeping bell is on. And so you realize that when you worship, even when you sit in your car, the songs follow your heart. And then you go. By the time you write, you are humming it. You're humming it. It's affecting your spirit. The spirit of the born again, first early sign is the crying sign. Yeah. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse number, look at John chapter 4. I believe it's verse number, is it 15? Try it. You know, I'm talking about God, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. Verse 24. John chapter 4 verse 24. Go. 23, good. 23 is okay. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. You see, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And you have spiritual sounds. A born-again person has spiritual sounds. Just like a baby has crying. Born again. The thing that is inside, the cardinal mark of a newborn baby is crying. The cardinal mark of a newborn spirit is worship. It's worship. You begin to worship the Father, to give glory to the Father, glory to God, by the grace of God. Sounds like that. When are you coming? When will you be seeing? Are you coming to church tomorrow? God willing, by the grace of God. These are the sounds of the Spirit. That is somebody who depends on the Father. You say, tomorrow are you coming? By the grace of God, God willing. Yes. Sounds of crying. You're not born again. You can't do it. All your things. I'm coming tomorrow. Okay? And then when there's something you need, a child needs something, he cries to the mother. When a believer, proper believer needs something, he also cries to the Father through prayer. Prayer every morning. You know, when I sat on the plane, I prayed. When I sit in the car, I pray. When I came to the church, you saw me kneeling down, I pray. You see, all these things, you don't even notice it. It's a sign. Are you born again? Are you really born again? Yeah. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, sincerely. And I'm not talking about now, no, I want to be seen as born again. So tomorrow, when I go, I'll turn off the worship so that I'll be born again. Nonsense. Let it be generated from inside. Yes. For the Father, first of all, get born again. And if it's not there, it means perhaps you're not born again. And decide that, Lord, help me to be born again. You'll see, worship will be cardinal. Prayer will be cardinal. Grace of God, the glory of God, all these things. And you will not be ashamed. Victoria, be careful. Okay. When the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, sincerely, for the Father seeks such to worship him. And the word is not for God, for the Father. He wants to make you a child. He wants you to be birthed by him, by him. When I explain to you the born again, hey, your mouth, shh. Hey, are you tired of hearing this? Please. Okay. For the Father seeks such to worship him. The Father is seeking. The Father wants you. May you be birthed to the Father in Jesus' name. And he goes on the next verse to say, God is a spirit. So once that which is born of the flesh is flesh, when you become spiritual, it says that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and sincerely in truth. You don't worship just the songs that are nice, eh? But the song, because the words mean something. As I'm being, I want to catch the attention of the Savior. That's the new birth. Young people, what you sing is an expression of what is your spirit. You bring out unbeliever music, let's talk about sex, baby, all these things. It's a sign of what spirit is inside of you. Yeah. Worship is a clear sign of the new birth, especially sincere worship, and I am, especially when you add lifting up of hands, when nobody's, you kneel down, and you are singing along day and night to the Lord. My goodness, if that is not in you, pray about it. Amen. And prayer also, okay? So that is called the crying sign. And then we also have the sucking reflex. When you say reflex, it means it's latching on or reflex sucking, you know. Sucking sign is also a sign of babies when they are born. They suck the mother, the breast milk. They love the breast milk. I think it's First Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, isn't it? As newborn babes desire, latch on, suck the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That is, look. People who are born again, they love the word. They do quiet time. They like when you're coming to church, you have a notebook. You want to write. You see, look at the people who sincere. And when they write, they mean it. And they say, Pastor, I wish you say it again. And then they finish and then they go and then read and they listen to the message again. They are listening to messages. They are reading the Bible. If you are a baby for real, you will latch onto your mother's breast for breast milk. That is the only way you will grow. Yeah. Only way. There's no other way. That's the only way. Word will make you grow. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, hey, beloved, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Build you up. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified or specially placed for God. The word, that's what gives you a place. And anybody, I'm telling you, you will never grow up and be built up in the Lord. Christian birth, the sign that you are born again, one sign is your growth. And the growth will never come if the baby is not drinking from the mother. And I mean from the mother, God who gave birth to you. A sign that you're born again is the one you draw nourishment from. How much nourishment do you draw from the Father? It's a sign. Where you draw nourishment is a sign of where, who born you by mistake? Who born you? And who's feeding you? When you are born, your mother, who fed you with breast milk when you were born? What's the name? Don't say what? That's rude. Say, excuse me. What's the question, please? Say it again.
What was the question?
You were not listening to me. Who gave you breast milk when you were a baby?
My mom.
My mom. I love it. Clap for 72 and a half points. Your mom. You know? So, if that which is born of the flesh is flesh, now that you have drank breast milk from mommy, when that's physical birth, when you are spiritually born, who gave birth to you spiritually? Who gives newborn baby is by who?
By God.
Who should you be feeding from if that is now your new birth? Is it your mother this time? Spiritually who?
God.
Clap for us. Now you have 99.2%.
Amen. Wow.
Look, this is very, very important. It's real important. And that's the reason why I am always on. I remain a baby and I want to be at God's breast all the time. And God doesn't mind because he's called the mighty breasted one. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, all your breasts together will not be enough. When it comes to God, he has mighty breasts. Have you got mighty breasts before? He's got enough for everybody. Everyone here must latch on to God, must latch on to God, must suck from God, must draw from God, must desire from God, must cry out to God. The word, if it's not coming to you, you must rebel. You should see children when you haven't fed them, how they rebel. When you have not had the quiet time, do you rebel? Do you rebel? First sign, crying sign. Second sign is the sucking sign or the latching. They call it the suck reflex. No, sucking reflex, right? You latch on. Yeah. And so much is it important that they train the mothers how to put them, you know, at the breast. May you remain at God's breast. And everybody, I'm telling you, watch it, and from now, desire the new birth, and with that, desire the sincere milk and see the difference. Even, you know that when a mother puts the baby on the breast, it's not just for nourishment, eh? It's for relationship. It's for bonding. People who are not bonded to God, often it's because they don't feed from God. So there is no relationship. You begin to read the Bible and to make it practical and to write notes and to apply it to your life and let it enter you and be part of your life. You will develop a relationship with God. You'll be surprised. Even demons will flee from you.
That's it.
Yeah. They will flee from you. And everybody else that lay claim to you will just, you know, back off because they can see that, look, this is actually you have taken on a new father, a new mother. I'm talking about being born again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you are here and everything, do you know the nature of the devil is such that he keeps you away from your father? You see the Bible is, oh, there are better things. Oh, I don't understand. I don't like this chapter. I don't like. It's all a ploy to keep you, rather draw you to himself. And because once you start, I tell you. And every feeding actually directs you to ownership. Feeding. You see, when you see somebody who's misbehaving in the streets, and they say, hey, be careful what you do. The person, who do you think you are? Are you my father? Are you my mother? Yeah. You are my daddy. You are my mother. But When the mother who comes, who feeds, or the father who feeds comes around and tells you something, that's it. It's done. Yeah. Or directs you, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. The reason why God cannot speak to some people is because they have not associated themselves with feeding from God. When you start being fed by God, you see, you start hearing, you start being directed by Him, your life will pattern after God and you'll be amazed. Well nourished and strong. No infections. No diseases. No spiritual attacks. Yeah. No demonic attacks, because the breasts carry nutrition. People who are not spiritually breastfed are malnourished and they get into infections, attacks of the devil, sins, pornography, lies, stealing, immorality. All these are signs of malnutrition and disease, spiritual diseases. The same way that when mothers are told that let the child be consistently feeding, we call it exclusive breastfeeding. And look, my children, I breastfed them exclusively for 12 months. None of them went to the hospital. None of them. That's why my breasts are finished. None of them went to the hospital. It's not been easy. And I've gotten another one. I've started breastfeeding already. So it's not been easy. Yeah. It's not been easy. We breastfed them for 12 months. None of them went to hospital. And as I speak, I don't remember any of them going to hospital. I don't remember any of them by the grace of God. Except if maybe one of them went and played buffoonery and then broke his legs, so we had to go. But I'm talking about, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that. So they need to admit, it doesn't happen. Do you know when a child is breastfed exclusively for a long time, without anything else, all this formula nonsense that lazy mothers associate with. I'm telling you, sometimes not lazy, sometimes it's because there are circumstances, real circumstances, fine. But generally speaking, if you can, you know, that I have a very exclusive breastfeeding mother here that I even at a point I thought, hey, you like breastfeeding, pa. She also likes crying. But anyway, when you breastfeed for a long time, your children, they become strong. Even when they grow, and now, even mentally, they are smart, mentally. Spiritual smartness is based on spiritual feeding consistently, where you have answers to Jesus Christ. When the devil came and tempted him, because of what he had fed on, everything he rebutted with scripture. And the devil could not affect him. But Adam and Eve, they threw the words away. They wouldn't feed. And the devil, 1, 2, 3, they were out of the garden. Many Christians are out of the plan of God because they lack the suction reflex. You take it seriously and see the difference. Yeah, that's the difference between strong Christians and feeble spaghetti Christians. And then the final... was early sign is what we call the holding reflex. The holding. You have a baby. You know, when you have a baby and you put your finger, you put your finger, wait, hold it. Put a finger into the hand. It holds tight. Tight. It wouldn't allow you. That's a reflex. And then also, children like to be held. When you hold them, then they cry. These are called the holding reflex. The child holds and the mother holds. It's a two-way thing. And that grip is due. It's called fellowship, where I want to be there and the church wants me. And that interaction brings growth. And it brings emotional stability. It brings psychological stability, mental stability, your thinking, everything. A sense of belonging. That love is very important. Love and fellowship. Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. So fellowship is important. Those of us who say, one sign that you are born again, you love fellowship. You love church. I mean, look, I did everything possible to be here. I love church. I love fellowship. I don't miss anything. And ladies and gentlemen, all the people that we don't see, it is up to you. I told you it's two ways. It's the person holding. Sometimes babies, they hold. When you put your hand, they hold. But you have to carry them. Now, can you bring that scripture? Something verse 11. Isaiah chapter something verse 11. Is it 40 verse 11? Where he said the shepherd, there's holding, there's carrying. I'm going to, all of us, this week, I'm going to, when you are born again, help somebody's signs, early signs, to flourish by now bringing them into fellowship. Many of you, one of the things that has made you strong and stable is recognizing the importance of what I think is Isaiah 40, good, 11. Recognizing the signs and the importance of the holding. You, even without stretching your hand, we have stretched towards you, carried you. Some of you, the number of calls I've made, if I was used to calculating in terms of finances, you owe me a lot of money. Because you alone, Brunetta, the number of calls I've made, long ones, sometimes international calls, because you were crying.
Hey, we owe Pa big time. I'm in debt.
She's my baby, for real. Spencer, the number of times I've spoken to you, my goodness, spanked you on the phone. Brother Michael, the gas that I've used just to bring you to church several times. Do you remember?
I remember.
The gas money.
Plane tickets.
Plane tickets. Plane tickets, yes. Just to go to camp, just to fellowship. Because reality is, the truth is, you know, if you don't fellowship, something bad can happen. That's why the Bible says, you see, apart from this, you see that Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, a shepherd shall feed his flock like a shepherd. God will treat. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. The gathering is important. You see, if you're born again, the Father gathers, and you should allow him to gather you. He said, God will feed his flock. You see, the section is there, and he will also gather them, the holding, with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's the work. And there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. 24 and 25. The Bible says that, consider one another to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. How does it happen? How does it happen? How does it happen? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. That is the only reason why how you can become something. It's a sign. When the new birth is in you, God will gather. You will allow God's gathering, and you yourself will not forsake assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But rather, you will exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These are signs for real of the new birth. Clap for the Lord Jesus. May you be born again for real. May you become part of Jesus' team for real. And I think last week they shared with you some few little signs. Let me just mention them and we'll close. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's all. Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proof, or you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. And so I believe that last week you understood the fact that the latter signs or the later signs, one of them is number one, what? Verse one, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Present yourself. Present your body. So you are a spirit. When you are born again, you are a spirit. You present your body. Okay, you present your body to God. God, Charlie. This is my body. Present your body. God controls your emotions.
Lord, you present your body, the fleshly things, you give up to God. Give it up to God. So you have to present your body. Bring your body under subjection, the Bible says. Okay, as a living sacrifice. So you are alive, but you are a sacrifice to the Lord. I've sacrificed my body. That's why I have one wife. Not three. I'm not a side chick. No fornication. No fornication, no pornography, no immorality, nothing. My body, you see that? No drugs. All these things that Bible says you are, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So I present it to God. And as I present it to God, God keeps my body. God keeps my body. God keeps my body. Present your body. A living sacrifice. You are not dead. You know, when you are dead, it's easy to put it on the altar. But when you are not dead and you bring yourself to God, that you are the living sacrifice and I present myself to God. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. I mean, many of you are young. Otherwise, I've showed you, I would have talked to you about other ways, sacrifices that you can understand. But really, you present your body to the Lord. Hallelujah. And holy, holy, holy. Uh-huh. And as a sacrifice. The other thing is that you make sacrifices. One of the signs that somebody is born again. If somebody makes sacrifices, real born-again people make sacrifices. One of the signs, clear signs of the new birth is the sacrifice of the tithe. Esther, don't look away because now you don't pay, your tithe paying has become funny. So when I said it, then you started looking away. Look at me directly.
What a shock.
Yeah, things are changing, so look at me. Let me talk to you, my dear. Say amen. Nobody will know that things are becoming funny. Amen. It's true. You're born again. I'm telling you. Real children, they bring. One of the signs that I see, my children, that I bless them the most, is those who want me to eat their food. One of the greatest sacrifices, the sacrifice of the tithe, sacrifice of even your sexuality, waiting, moral, whatever, things that are acceptable to God. Acceptable to God, not acceptable to my body. If God likes it, that's what I want. That's what Joseph, Bible says Joseph prospered. Joseph was really changed. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. And this man, Joseph, he prospered. God was with him and he prospered in his master's house. Prospered. And one of the reasons is in verse 9. Bible says, when Potiphar came to use his body, he said, no, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? He wanted to do something, even in secret, that was acceptable to God. People who are born again, your secret life is in the full glare of God. And you even if you fall to fornication, you can cry. It's like you feel guilty. People even commit all kinds. I mean, they become depressed because of one sin. Even if you lie. If you lie, it bothers you deeply. Deeply. Hallelujah. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's look at all those things. I believe that, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to share some of these signs. And we're going to, each of us, give our lives to Christ over and over again until all these signs are found in our lives. Clap for the Lord Jesus and let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Yeah. Wow. How many are blessed? Lift up your hands. Why is that when I'm preaching, you don't say amen if you are blessed? Oh, this one was too much. This one was, you can say ouch, and then you turn and say hallelujah. Someone say ouch, hallelujah. Now, the beauty of all this thing is that it makes you really, really close to God. It makes you like Joseph. You know, let me tell you the end result of this kind of new birth properly, and these signs is in verse 2 of Joseph's life. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. I like it. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord will be with you. And he was a prosperous man. You'll be a prosperous student, a prosperous mother, a prosperous son, a prosperous person. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. It doesn't matter where you are. God will prosper you. The new birth brings the presence of God and brings prosperity, the fear of God. All right?
I wish I had had the opportunity today. I wanted to read to you one scripture, but it doesn't matter. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he will give you a new heart, and a new spirit, and old things will pass away. And that is the thing that God wants, that you will be born again. Your spirit will have the new birth. Put your hand on your heart. And today I want you to make a decision. It doesn't matter. Remember, Nicodemus had been religious for a long time. But Jesus said, no, don't be surprised that we are asking you this. It looks so basic. It looks so basic, but it's so important. I need you. I need you, Mr. Nicodemus, Madam Nicodemus. I need you, baby Nicodemus, to actually do it again. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your heart and if I was you, I will not just because of what people are doing, but I will personally tell myself, if Nicodemus, such a religious, who was even a teacher, a ruler, a Pharisee, somebody who knew religion, was told by Jesus Christ that you must be born again, and don't be surprised, I will tell myself, me too, I'll not be surprised that I'm being told to do this, and I'll do it sincerely, and I will dare you. I will dare you, whoever you are, in spite of your religious life, today, decide to be born again for real. Today, decide. Tell yourself, it's so important. I've seen that many of these signs are lacking, and I want to be born again. No photographs anymore. No photographs. You get born again to put it aside. No, nothing. Let's just get serious with this thing. Let's just get serious. Everybody, get serious. Get for real. Be real with God. You know, this is something that the devil has always tried to take away from us, but today he cannot. We are going to start on a journey, on a road that will put us in Christ's team for good, and that we will be like Jesus, and the devil will not be able to have hold on our lives again. And the prosperity God wanted will come to us for real. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what church, how long you've been in church. Make a new decision today for real, with all sincerity and without pride. If Nicodemus was told, perhaps you also need to be told. Perhaps today is your best day in your life. Today, make that decision. If you want to make that decision for real, and you want to be sure, in case you are not sure, lift up your hand. Don't be afraid of what anybody will think. God bless you. Lift up your hand. I'm telling you, all of us need to do this. I am going to do it. And I'm telling you that, listen, don't be self-righteous. Let's lift up both hands. One hand on your heart, one hand to the Lord. Everybody. And let's say this prayer for real. Say, Almighty Father, I hear you. I accept what you are saying. Jesus, my Savior, I need salvation. If Nicodemus was told by you to be born again, although he was very religious, then today I put religious life aside. Religiosity is over. I want a relationship with you, a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. Please give me the new birth, the spiritual birth. I need to be born again. I need this new life, this new birth. Holy Spirit, come into my heart, because I believe that Jesus is the Christ, my Savior, the Son of the living God. I believe by faith that I am born again today. All previous ones that were fake, that didn't work, today, let it not count. May this real one count. Please help me with this new birth for real, once and for all, in the name of Jesus Christ. Write my name in the book of life and embrace me. Let me have the sucking sign, the holding sign, the crying sign, and the latter signs. For real, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Wow, weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5769 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.